Lord, we thank you that, like the song we just sang, Lord, those words that we are a vapor, but you are eternal. This life is but a moment. And Lord, we pray for the strength to make each moment count. We pray for wisdom and discernment to understand what you're speaking to our hearts and how you're leading us and guiding us and drawing us into a closer relationship with you. And Lord, we lay all these things down before you this morning, and we ask, Lord God, that you would speak to our hearts, that your word would challenge us and transform us. And we give you all the honor and glory for the things that you're doing this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God is so good. I could have just stayed there and we could have let Pastor Sean just, I'll edit you out, it's okay. Let Pastor Sean just keep going. Man, the presence of the Lord is beautiful. All right, well, let's continue worshiping through our giving. Lord, we thank you that we can come into this place, that we can trust you, that we can worship you through our giving, and we pray you bless this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, while they receive our offering this morning, a handful of announcements. Supper club today. So, yes, so potluck, which is, if you're newer with us, we call it supper club because it's an opportunity for food and fellowship. So if you're newer, if you didn't bring a dish, we just want you to come hang out and get to know us. Amen. There's amazing people here at this church, and you need to get to know them. And so come join us for potluck. Midweek services are in full swing, so Tuesday nights, 6:30, dinner and Bible study followed, and youth and all of those good things. So come join us. Not this Tuesday, but the following Tuesday will be our Valentine's celebration. So this isn't like a couple's thing. This is a family thing. So everybody come. There's going to be great food and games and funny stories, I'm sure, of some kind. And so we have great party planners, and it's going to be a good time. So that'll be Tuesday the 11th for family fun night. Ladies Bible study starts this Thursday, 6:30 p.m. Books are $20, so see Miss Rachel, wherever she might be. She's got the books, so $20 for those. All right, we have a new ministry starting. Wow. I'm going to go home. Let's try it again. We have a new ministry starting. Yay! So, it's not for any of you, though, so. We have a young adults group. They are going to kick off with the Super Bowl party here at the church. So, who is a young adult? It's a good question, isn't it? Well, let me tell you, if you're like, am I a young adult? Come talk to me. I'll break your heart. I'll let you know. Young adult. So after high school, so you got to be out of high school. If you're married with kids, you're still a young adult. If you're single, this isn't a singles group. There's an app for that. Right, so we're trying to create opportunity. This is the group that is missed by churches all over. And a lot of churches are working hard to create something for this group. This is opportunity for those young folks, married with kids, single, whatever it is. They're all in that after high school. Some of them are in college, or they're working, or they're raising families. But they're all in that same age group, and it's an opportunity for them to connect. And so next Sunday is Super Sunday. Next Sunday is Super Sunday. And so the young adults group is going to kick off at 4:30 or 4 o'clock for the Super Bowl. The game starts at 4:30. The doors are open at 4. And so there will be pizza provided by the church, and then bring snacks and drinks and stuff. And you guys will be able to hang out, play games, watch a game if you're so inclined. And so we're excited about this. We're excited about the opportunity. Somebody's like, do you actually have that many young adults in your church to start a young adult group? I said, that is very offensive. We do. We started counting, and especially when you bring in these young marrieds and everything that are all in the same age, you know, decade-ish demographic, decade and change, we figure there's about 15 to 20 folks in that age group within the church. And so we want opportunity for them to connect. And so now if you're saying, well, what about my demographic? Well, come talk to me. If God's putting something on your heart. No, guess not. Okay. Yeah. They're like, nobody's amening that. All right, so next Sunday is Super Sunday. We're having the annual business meeting on Super Bowl Sunday. Nobody cares about this year's Super Bowl anyway. We saw this one a couple years ago. It's a rerun. So annual business meeting. So what can you expect of the annual business meeting? We do it, I don't know, I haven't been to anybody else's in a long time, but we do it different than I've done it in years past. And we kind of have a hybrid service. So part of it, we'll do worship like we do every week. I'll have a shorter message with some vision casting, and then the different ministry leaders will come and share what has happened and what is happening in the different ministries, the men's, the women's, the kids, and the youth. Then we'll have a short recess, 4 to 7 minutes. We'll have snacks for you, some protein, some caffeine, some sugar. Then we'll come back together and we'll do the finances and the pastor's report. If all goes well, you should be out of here between 12:15 and 12:30. Plenty of time to order pizza, get it delivered, and find something to do. Unless you're one of those people that's going to watch the game. So that's what that's going to look like. It'll be quick. If you are a member of the church, we need you here because we have to have a quorum to have an official business meeting, which is 2/3 of our members. And so if you're a member, like in writing a member, you signed a document and said you're our favorite pastor, we will commit to being here and giving and all those things, then we need you here so we have that quorum so we can have an official business meeting. If you're not a member and you say, well, I'm really curious about all of this stuff, you are welcome to stay. What membership means is that if we don't have anything we're voting on this year, but if we had something we're voting on, you need to be a member to cast a vote. Not like in the book of Acts where everybody could throw a rock. Only members. And so if that's something you're interested in, come and talk to me. All right, should we get into the good stuff? Yes. Acts chapter 8, starting in verse 14. Acts chapter 8, starting in verse 14. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that the people of Samaria had accepted God's message, they sent Peter and John there. As soon as they arrived, they prayed for these new believers to receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit had not yet come upon any of them, for they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John laid their hands upon the believers, and they received the Holy Spirit. Lord, we pray that your word would challenge us, that we would be responsive to it. We thank you that your Holy Spirit still leads and guides us today. In Jesus' name, amen. So number one is teamwork. So Philip, we read previously, earlier in this chapter, he leads the people to the Lord. He shares the gospel with them, the information about Jesus Christ dying on the cross for their sins. The people receive this and believe. And then somehow, this is pre-Facebook, so somehow the information gets back to Jerusalem. And the believers that are still in Jerusalem say, man, the people in Samaria have accepted the Lord. And they decide that Peter and John should go check it out. And this is where sometimes, have you ever met somebody that you're like, you're just a little too smart for your own good? If we could dumb you down a little. Sometimes when you're studying the scriptures and you're reading what the different theologians think, at least I begin to wonder, how do you come up? So some of the things that they come up with when they're reading through this are things like, the Samaritans weren't really saved because Peter and John hadn't come yet. And I think, how do you come up with that? It said earlier in the chapter that Philip baptized them, that Philip prayed with them, that they accepted the Lord. Not only did they accept the Lord, they were healed and they were delivered. And they go, well, but not really until Peter and John showed up. And you're like, no. It's called reading into the scriptures. And then they go on, some will say that, well, Peter and John had to come because only the apostles could pray for people to receive the Holy Spirit. And you go, where do you come up with that? So Philip, he could lead them to the Lord. He could baptize them in water. He could pray for healings. He could cast out demons. But he can't pray for somebody to receive the Holy Spirit? It doesn't make sense. The plain sense of Scripture makes sense. Well, sometimes we take Scripture and we overcomplicate it by beginning to try to read things into it. Philip came and did a work. Could it be as simple as Philip's hands were full? Verse 6 says that the crowds listened intently. He was teaching and preaching and praying, and people were set free from demons. He was one guy. He was busy. Could it be that Philip had a lot of discipleship to do? Remember, the Samaritans, they had all kinds of pagan beliefs mixed in with their Jewish practices. There's a lot of discipleship that had to go on. And could it be that Philip was spending his time training up a new body of believers? Could it be that God gave Philip the personality, the tools, the skills to be able to minister to the Samaritans and carry the gospel message to them? To share the love of Christ with them in a way that touched their hearts, in a way that they received? Could it be that Philip paved the way? He paved the way for Peter and John so that the platform was set for them to come and to minister to the new believers. We always want to explain every little detail of life. We want to ask the wise. We want to understand every minute thing. sometimes in the midst of that, we get caught up in minor details and we miss the whole point. We miss the whole point of the conversation. It is a great tool of the enemy. When we begin to major on the minors, and the enemy begins to distract us. It's the same strategy that a sorcerer, we're talking about Simon in this section, or a magician might use. They want you to watch this hand while they're doing something over here. Distract you with one thing so you don't see what's actually happening. The amazing part of this story is that the Samaritans, a group that were rejected by the Jews in Jerusalem, had been baptized in the Holy Spirit. All these smart guys get caught up on, well, why did Peter and John go? And why didn't Philip just do all of that? How about we stop and look at the fact that these people that had previously been rejected by the Jews in Jerusalem were now being visited by the apostles, were being baptized by the Holy in the Holy Spirit, being set free from bondage and the pagan religions. There's miraculous things taking place because they experienced the grace and love of Jesus Christ. And we get tied up and hung up on all of these details that don't impact the story. It's not about what Philip didn't do. It's not about what Peter and John did do. It's about what the team, Philip and Peter and John, God using them, it's what transpired through that. That is what is important. Because the Holy Spirit moved through them and impacted a community. When we work together as a team, we have different gifts and abilities and strengths. We have different things that we're passionate about. Megan loves art, and she's good at it. A stick man is a hard task. My brain doesn't operate that way. But hers does. And so she shows me all the cool things she's doing. Yep, that's really cool. If you need more crayons, you let me know. I love people. I spent half the day this week with my Muslim friend. It was great. We had great conversation. He'll be here one day. We have great conversation. He knows exactly where I stand. I don't have to pull any punches with him. I don't have to be soft around the edges like some people. We can just say it the way it is. And he gets it, and he likes it. It took a whole team to do this. And that's what God has here. It's a team of people with gifts and abilities. To draw in other people. To engage in relationship with other people. To lead in worship and invite and welcome and the Holy Spirit into this place so that our hearts and our minds are in a place where we're ready to receive what God has for us. Amen. Because the day-to-day world will break you down and make you miserable and distract you and disturb you and all kinds of things. This chapter goes on to say in verse 18, when Simon saw that the Spirit was given, when the apostles laid their hands on people, he offered them money to buy this power. Let me have this power too, he exclaimed, so that when I lay my hands on people, they will receive the Holy Spirit. Number two, what is driving you? What is driving you? So there's a lot happening in these couple of verses. So remember, Simon had followed Philip everywhere. He saw the miracles. He saw people healed. He saw people getting set free from demonic influence. He saw all of this stuff. But Peter and John come, and they pray for people to get baptized in the Holy Spirit. And all of a sudden, Simon goes, whoa, time out. I will pay you so that I can do that too. Now we know if we backed all the way up to Acts chapter 2, when the 120 are filled with the Holy Spirit, we know that when that took place, the crowd noticed something was happening as the people began to speak in tongues, speak in other languages. We know that something was taking place, so much so that the crowds came around. Something took place in this moment, so much so that Simon took notice above and beyond what he had noticed with these previous miracles and went, I need to be able to do that. You guys are doing something that I want to be able to do. And we focus in this section on Simon's response, but before we do that, this is a significant moment in the church. This is the first time outside the walls of Jerusalem that anybody has been baptized in the Holy Spirit. This is the first time outside of the church in Jerusalem that this has taken place. This is a significant move of the Spirit of God as he begins to break out of the walls of Jerusalem and move across the countryside. But we ignore all of that. So Simon's response, I think this can really hit close to home. What drives you? What drives me? Simon sees Peter and John pray for these people. He says, I want that. He says, how much? What is this going to cost me? And just so we're clear, this isn't about Peter and John. If you read verse 18 in the King James Version, it says, when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money. The word through in the Greek indicates that Peter and John were a conduit, a vessel that God was using to baptize these people in the Holy Spirit. It's not about Peter and John. It's about the willing vessel that God was using. And so we don't want to get tied up in this thing that it's all tied to Peter and John. There's something that happens in that moment. And all of a sudden, old Simon comes out. Remember in verse 13, Simon himself, it says, he became a believer. He was baptized. And all of a sudden, Simon the sorcerer comes back to life. And says, I want to buy that. Maybe he sees a way to rise in prominence again. Remember, he was sought out by all the people in the area. They knew who he was. He was a man of prominence. Maybe that's what he's looking for. Maybe his motives were pure. He just wanted to be able to bless people with that. Maybe his motives were skewed. We don't have a lot of information. What drives you? Why are you here today? Does the old you ever rise up? Say, remember me? I'm still here. Just waiting for a weak moment so I can show myself. James Dobson tells the story of a football team from the 30s in Oklahoma that his mom had told him about. And this football team lost all the time. Now it's Oklahoma. You gotta be able to play football. And they lost all the time, especially to their rivals. It was so bad, the players were dejected and depressed, and the school and the townspeople. So this rich oil man decides he's gonna take things into his own hands. And he offers to buy a brand new Ford for all the players and coaches if they can win next week's game, because this is the arch rival. This is the team they always want to beat. And so he says, if you guys can do it, if you guys can beat them, new Fords all the way around. The team went crazy. They ate, drank, and breathed football all week long. The entire school got football fever. The town showed up for the game full of energy, cheering and yelling and screaming. The big night arrives. The team gets on the sideline. Excitement was at an all-time high, and they get ready to go out, and the team gathers around. They put their hands in together. Rah! Go team! They ran onto the field and were demolished 38-0. No new Fords. Takes more than a week to become conference champion. The apostles, Philip, the 120, they had followed Jesus for a long time. Those years that he was on earth, a lot of those people followed him prior to the crucifixion. They heard his teachings. They were in the upper room. They saw him ascend into heaven. What was taking place in them was the fruit from the seeds Jesus had been laying and watering and tending to for all that time he was investing in them. And now they were beginning to understand as the Holy Spirit gave them wisdom and insight to the scriptures and to the things that Jesus had said. They were beginning to understand it. And they were beginning to operate in gifts that God had given them. Philip is leading communities to the Lord, and he's going to keep doing it. Samaria had an encounter with Christ, with the woman at the well. Simon was a new believer. He was looking for a shortcut. That is amazing that these people are full of the Holy Spirit and they're praying and they're so excited about God. I want to be able to do that. Now, I would guess, this isn't in here, this is my surmising. Somebody like Simon, who had raised to prominence in a community, had some leadership abilities. Simon had people coming to him, and now Philip comes, and everybody's looking to Philip. John and Peter come, and everybody's looking to them. And his old self rises up, and he says, I will purchase that gift. It doesn't matter if we're promised a new car at the end of the road. It takes discipline and hard work to stay focused. keep committed to following Christ. You're here, so presumably I'm preaching to the choir. Because you got up, you weren't afraid of the rain. You weren't afraid of getting stuck in the parking lot that looks like it could be a mud bog in a couple hours. But sometimes we lose focus and that old man rises back up, or that old woman. Can I say that? Old woman?
No.
Rises back up. That old self. Be politically correct. What do we do if we lose focus? What do we do if that old self rises again? Verse 20 says, "But Peter replied, 'May your money be destroyed with you for thinking God's gift can be bought. You can have no part in this, for your heart is not right with God. Repent of your wickedness and pray to the Lord. Perhaps he will forgive your evil thoughts. For I can see that you are full of bitterness, of bitter jealousy, and are held captive by sin. Pray to the Lord for me,' Simon exclaimed, 'that these terrible things you said won't happen to me.'" So we need to draw near to God. How do I set myself up for success? How do I keep that old person pushed down in the new man that God is molding and shaping at the forefront? Have someone who can speak truth into your life. We don't like to hear it, but we need to hear it. And we need to have somebody that understands us that can speak it into our life. Now, there's people I know that I can be really direct with. There's other people that you have to have a softer hand with. But we need to find that somebody that will tell you. Do I look like I've lost some weight? Does this shirt make me look fat? No, your fat makes you look fat. And I need somebody that can tell me, hey, one more day in the gym, probably be all right for you. Verses 20 through 23 are pretty intense. Peter doesn't give Simon the gentle version. He blasts him. The next thing is we can examine ourselves. Verse 23, Peter says, "I can see that you are full of bitter jealousy and held captive by sin." Simon had been a man of influence. Now all of a sudden these strangers have the influence. Pride rises up. Gets the better of him. Fills him with bitter jealousy. Pride, jealousy, anger. Those are things that fester within us. And when those things begin to fester, they begin to create problems deep inside of our person. And there are things that if we don't deal with early, they turn into a goat head. And they have a root system that you can't destroy. They can create a lot of problems for us. One of the teachings that comes out of this is that Simon wanted to sell the gift of the Holy Spirit. Again, I would suggest that that is reading into these passages, because Peter and John, it was a gift they were freely giving as they laid hands on people and prayed over them. So it's not necessarily that Simon wanted to sell it, and that's not what the scripture says. It's more likely that Simon wanted to be able to pray over the people like Peter and John did. He wanted to see those things taking place in other people's lives, but instead of saying, hey, what do I need to do? How can I develop a relationship with God so that I can hear what God is speaking to me? And the old self comes back and he goes, $20. $20. Will $20 do it? It'll get you a book for the women's Bible study. That's what it'll get you. Which will get you closer to Jesus. So ladies, get a book. Had Simon sought the Lord, received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, discipled under the apostles, we might read later in Acts about Peter and Simon, about John and Simon, like we read about Paul and Silas and other duos that went out. But instead, he went for a shortcut. And after these verses, we don't hear about him anymore. Verse 24 says, that's the sound of joy. Verse 24 says, pray to the Lord for me, Simon exclaimed, that these terrible things you've said won't happen to me. So the next thing we can do is repent before the Lord. If I'm angry or bitter or begrudging, we got to take that to the Lord. If we read this in the Greek, verse 24 would be very emphatic. And it would be Simon begging Peter and John to pray. But it's not just to pray for him. Literally, it is, add your prayers to mine so these things do not happen. So sometimes we read this and we go, oh, Simon didn't repent. He just wanted them to pray for him. He's still just trying to get something. No, if we read this in its original context, he's saying, hey, will you guys come and pray alongside of me? Walk with me through this thing. Why do we do women's ministries? Why are we having a women's Bible study? You could just come on Tuesday and listen to this guy. Why do we do men's breakfast? Because bacon's awesome. Because we need to surround ourselves with people that can speak into our lives. Amen. Megan loves it when I preach to her at home. I get a lot of amens. Because we need people that can come around us and encourage us. Women need relationship with other females because they understand the spaghetti mind. Hey, that's not offensive. That's a factual statement. It all touches in a woman's brain. And a man's brain is boxes and it's very separated. And we need that encouragement from those people. Amen. We need brothers and sisters to come alongside of us. Join your prayers with mine. My faith is weak today. I'm tired. Work is stressful. The kids are sick. exhausted. My heart is heavy. And somebody else is full of joy. And somebody else is full of energy. Somebody else is full of compassion. And somebody else is full of faith. And you mix that stuff up, and you have the recipe for greatness as the body of believers comes together. It's good when we pray together. God loves you and wants to be in relationship with you. Simon, we don't hear about after this point in the scriptures. What we do know is that something was beginning to stir up in Simon's heart. And he asked them to pray with him. If your heart is hurt about something, if you feel bitterness or unforgiveness, pride, whatever it is that's building up, it's time to let it go. Those are not foundations that we build on. Those are foundations that turn into stumbling blocks later in life. They're things that will consume us. One of the thoughts here about Simon is that Peter spoke that to him so aggressively because that root, that thing, that pride hadn't taken root yet. That jealousy hadn't taken root yet. And Peter was speaking to Simon to get that out before it could take root. Because when we get hurt, we hold it. When we get offended, we hurt it. Hurt, hold it. We like to relive it. That's why we say bury the hatchet, but leave the handle sticking out. Make sure you can go back and find it. It's best when you use it the second and the third and the fourth time. And that should be our goal too, is to get these things out so that God can be at work in us. Then this chapter concludes by saying, after testifying and preaching the word of the Lord in Samaria, Peter and John returned to Jerusalem, and they stopped in many Samaritan villages along the way to preach the good news. Many Samaritan villages. Some of these wise guys want to convolute what was taking place here. God used Philip. Philip's moving on to something else that we're going to learn about next week. God takes Peter and John, gets them out of Jerusalem, ministers in this community, and then continues to use them in many more communities as they begin to travel back to Jerusalem. We can't get distracted by these side things. God has a plan and a purpose. I believe that you're in this building because God brought you to this place for a reason, for a season, for a purpose, because God wants to utilize you in this place. Amen. On Tuesday night, we talked a little bit about there's folks in this church that have been a part of this church for a long, long time. Some of them have been part of this church for longer than I've been around. Not around. Around. And they've been praying that God would use this place. They remember the miracle of when the church acquired this property. You're an answer to somebody's prayers that said, we want something for Sunny Ridge Church. Amen. Clear back to the 40s when this place started. So it's not by happenstance. It's because God has a plan and a purpose for you. God has a gift, a talent, an ability that you have. And he wants you to use it. We want to preach the good news through the community. Amen. Be a witness. to what God can do in a life. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Well, let's pray for potluck. So you can just... Oh, yeah, by the way, I'm almost done. We have to do things a little different. We have the... Amen. So rude. They'll just walk out in the middle of my sermon. Don't do that next week. So now we have kids' church happening in the fellowship hall, so we got to go play frisbee with the tables and chairs and get them all ready. Well, I just want to pray over you, pray over the meal. Encourage you, please stay and join us. Please, ladies, sign up for the Bible study. Rachel bought 25 books. I do not want any left in my office, please. It's going to be amazing. It's 8 weeks. You can commit to 8 weeks. And then next week, please be here for the business meeting. It's going to be fun. Lord, I thank you for these amazing people. Lord, as your Holy Spirit is here in this place this morning, as we've worshiped and read your word and prayed, there's things that have come to our mind that are obstacles in our life. There's things that have come to mind about that old self that tries to rise up. And I pray over each one of those things, Lord God, that you would give us opportunity to reject it, that you would put people in our lives that can speak into our life. And I pray, Lord God, that each one would be reminded of how much you love them, that there's purpose in their life, that there's value in their life, and that they're needed in this place. Lord, I pray that you bless the food, pray that the casseroles would multiply. I pray, Lord, that the fellowship would be encouraging, and that each one would leave this place with a full heart and a full belly. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.